For God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Let's pray as we ask for God's help as we think about his word together. Father God, we thank you for the scriptures that teach us about you. And Lord, the most important thing in life that we can learn is you, to learn about you, to know you, to follow you. So please, Lord, open our eyes to see how wonderful you are in this particular aspect that we're going to be considering about you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jim Packer, a theologian, said these words. He said, in our life of faith, we easily impoverish ourselves by embracing an idea of God that is too limited and small. It's vital for spiritual health to believe that God is great. Those words are very, very true. We need to see just how great God is. And it's the reason we've been looking at different qualities of God over this last year in our Together at 10 services. We've been looking at different qualities of God to see what God is truly like so that we can see his greatness, see his glory, his splendor, his otherness to us. We've seen how God is infinitely greater and different to us. And we're going to see that again this morning as we think about God's self-sufficiency and in contrast, our God-dependency. Well, as we begin to think about that, let me ask you a question. Now, if you could have any pet you like, what pet would you have? If you could have any pet, what would you have? Who wants to suggest what they would like, if they could? What was that, Mick? An alligator. Okay, anything else? They don't come up to breathe, do they? What? You need to put it in the water, wouldn't you? But the water's not going to just, it's going to spill everywhere. So what do you need?
A bowl.
A bowl. You need a goldfish bowl, don't you? So for a goldfish to survive, you're going to need a bowl. You're going to need some water. And if you just keep it in the water forever, is it going to be okay?
No.
What do you need to give it?
Food.
Food. Okay, so you need some fish food. Okay, so I'm just going to put this in here. Just give it some water. Okay. There we go. Give it a bit more. Here we go. Here we go. There you go, my friend. Whee! And just a little bit of food. And there you go. There you go. It's a little bit of fish food. A little bit of fish food. In case anyone is concerned that the goldfish has been injured in this experiment. No. No goldfish was hurt or injured today. That is just a piece of carrot. Okay? So, but imagine, if it was a real goldfish, it would need water, it would need food, it would need a tank to survive. It would depend upon you to provide it with those things. Those are the bare minimum things that it would need. And you know what? Everything needs something else to exist. Everything needs something else to exist. Everything in the universe, including you and me. We all need other things to exist. But you know, God is different from us. He's different from us, and he's different from everything else in the whole of creation. You see, God is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. This means that God depends on nothing to exist, only on himself. He is self-sufficient. Your goldfish, it needs food, it needs water, it needs a tank to survive. Humans need light and food and air to breathe. We need relationships in order to flourish, amongst other things. There's lots of things we need in this world. We don't have a tank to live in, but we can't just be floating through space. We need a world to live in. Yeah? We're dependent on our environment to exist. But you know, God doesn't need anything outside of himself. He's needful of nothing. God has got everything he needs within himself. He's absolutely independent. It's why we sang in our opening hymn. You know, sometimes you sing things and you're not really sure what they mean, but there's a line in the hymn, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise." And it said this. The second verse said, "Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might." Think about that. Nor wanting. There's nothing that God wants. To want is to need something. Are we there? Yeah. Nor wanting, nor wasting. God doesn't want or need anything. He never wastes away. You know, if I need food, if I don't eat, I'm just going to shrivel up in time. Yeah? You cannot live without food. But God never wastes away. You know, he never needs an evening meal to keep him going. God is totally different to us. And the Bible teaches God's self-sufficiency in various places, which is why we looked at various verses. And one of the key places is in Acts 17, where we learned in verse 25 that he, that is God, is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. God doesn't need us or anything to serve him. He depends on nothing, no one for his life and existence. And John's gospel tells us why. That was what our verse from John 5 told us. John's gospel tells us that for as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son, that's Jesus Christ, to have life in himself as well. See, God is self-existent because he's got everything he needs in his own being. And God's self-sufficiency is also seen in his name. That's why we looked at that verse from Exodus where God spoke to Moses and said that his name was I Am Who I Am. That's what you're to say to the Israelites. He's the one who sent you to them. I am who I am because God's existence and character are determined by himself alone. And God gave Moses a visual picture of this, didn't he? You remember that Moses had his attention drawn towards a bush that was burning. Okay? And there was something strange about this bush that was burning. What was strange about it? Can you remember? Was that Ewan? Well, it was actually on fire, but what happened? It didn't burn up. So it was on fire, but it didn't burn up. Now, that is pretty strange, isn't it? Because we all know that we need fuel to keep a fire going. So, if you're wondering why we did this experiment with the fish, you're going to see why now. That water might come in useful. Because here, we have a very pale bush. If I set this bush on fire, will it just keep going? It's like a science experiment in school, isn't it? Let's give it a go. Let's give it a go. Goldfish water might come in useful. So Moses was looking at this burning bush and he came over to it. You do get bushfires all the time. They happen. But this is what usually happens with bushfires. It starts off pretty impressive and then it gradually sort of dwindles out. And Moses was looking at this bush and he's thinking, it's going to go out in a minute. It's going to go out in a minute. It's going to go out in a minute. God, that's going a long time. Probably didn't look at his watch. He looked at his sundial. The fire didn't go out. That's why he went over and thought, this is flat out weird. And he went over to it. And as he went over to it, God spoke to him from the burning bush. You see, fires need fuel to exist. When the fuel is used up, the fire goes out. And bushfires need bushes to burn. And once they're burnt, they go out. But you know, God didn't need a bush to fuel his fire. Because God is self-sufficient. It's why the bush didn't burn up. It's a wonderful visual aid of the incredible truth that God is needful of nothing. He needs no food, no resource, no one. He doesn't even need us, not even for company. Sometimes people think that God created humanity because he was lonely. Now, if God was lonely, he would have needed something. He didn't create us because he was lonely, because God has fellowship within himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was in perfect unity and joy and happiness from all eternity. He didn't need us. But in his glory and creativity, he decided to make us. But he doesn't need us. God is not like us, but just a bit more impressive. His nature is different to ours altogether. That's why another theologian, Wayne Grudem, says this. He says, the difference between God's being and ours is more than the difference between the sun and a candle. More than the difference between the ocean and a raindrop. More than the difference between the Arctic ice cap and a snowflake. More than the difference between the universe and the room we're sitting in. Why? Because God's being is qualitatively different. Yeah? God is completely other than us. He's not the big man in the sky. Yeah? Which is kind of like a bit like us, just a lot bigger and great. No, he's nothing like us. He is utterly unique, self-sufficient from eternity to eternity. So if God is self-sufficient in his nature, it means that he is utterly worthy of praise and awe and adoration from us. It's the reason why God will always be and why he will never not be. From everlasting to everlasting, God is God. His self-sufficiency is the reason he can never stop being God. So God is self-sufficient. But you and me and everything in creation is God-dependent. God is self-sufficient. You and me, we are God dependent. Because you and I need God to exist. Not only did God create us and our environment and everything in the world, but our passage also tells us that he gives all men life and breath and everything else. So there's nothing that we have that is not from God. Everything we need, everything we see, everything we enjoy has come from God. We cannot exist without him. And we were not meant to. We were made to be God dependent. You know, sometimes we think that we can live without God's help. But you know, that's a lie. It's a lie. The truth is we need God for everything, however big, however small. And thinking we don't need God is the heart of what sin is. Thinking we don't need God is the heart of what sin is. All our sin does is increase our need from God. Because as sinners, what do we need from him? Well, we now need his forgiveness as well. The wonderful news is that God's self-sufficiency means that he has everything we need for our every need, even our forgiveness. Whatever we face, God is enough. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, from our verse earlier, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." He'll meet all your needs. All your needs? What, material needs? Yes. Spiritual needs? Absolutely. Relational needs? Yep. Physical needs? Yep. Wisdom needs? Yep. Whatever need you have, God is sufficient for it all. Our self-sufficient God has everything you need for your every need, all met in Jesus. And that's why he calls us to depend upon him today, to repent, to turn from our self-sufficiency, which is a lie, to recognize our God dependency. Our God is needful of nothing, but he is needed by all. Now, some might conclude that if God needs nothing and no one, then there's no point in our existence. Now, what's the point? But that's not true. See, while God doesn't need us, we are very important to God because he created us and has determined us to be meaningful to him. It's true he doesn't need us, but he's decided to set his love upon us, even sending his son to die to bring us forgiveness and to make us his children. And there's no greater significance in life than that. And what's more, although God doesn't need us to do anything for him, he wonderfully, nevertheless, chooses to involve us in his plans and purposes. Think of it like this. Think of it like a father who might choose to ask his child to help wash the car with him. The dad doesn't need the child to wash the car. The child really isn't contributing anything that the father can't do himself and do much quicker. In fact, it's going to take him a lot longer, isn't it? And yet, the father delights to involve the child that he doesn't need for this job to be involved with him in it. And that's what God is like with us. He doesn't need us to do anything. But in God's goodness, he chooses to involve us as his people in his work, which is glorious. It means that our lives, our actions, our work, they're all blessings from him and meaningful to him. And it gives us the deepest significance imaginable. Today, leave with praise in your heart that you have a God who is self-sufficient. But this self-sufficient God isn't distant from you. He's the one who calls you to himself to recognize your dependence upon him and to enjoy him and serve him forever. Let's pray together. Father God, we are gobsmacked by the fact that you don't need anything to exist. Thank you that it means you will never leave, you will never waste away. You never depend upon something that means if that supplier runs out, somehow you're no more. Lord, you will be forever and ever, to ever, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Please help us to remember that you are always there and help us to depend upon you for everything, every day, however big, however small. Thank you that you are sufficient for our every need. Amen.